previously, in episodes 18 and 49 of the Discerning Geeks Portal.
I would like to throw out Conan the Barbarian.
The very first original?
Yeah, the original. Arnold Schwarzenegger before he really learned how to speak English. And so he didn't talk a lot to Conan. He's just big and burly and oiled. It's very nice. Come on, Arnold's a big guy.
No, that's cool. I like that one. I like that. Everything,
everybody and knows Conan. James Earl Jones. Just saying.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Guys, wait a minute. Can I ask a question?
No.
Who's Conan?
Oh.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Oh, Jesus.
Do I need to add it to the list?
You need... Yes, but hang on. There's been a couple beyond the one you need to watch. You need to find Arnold Schwarzenegger's Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer. The rest of them are shit.
And then as an aside, you need to watch Red Sonja, because...
Oh, yeah. Then you need to watch Red Sonja. Because if you're going to watch Conan, you're going to watch Red Sonja. Then you need to watch Kroll. Then after Kroll, you need to watch Beastmaster.
Dragon Slayer.
Yeah. There's so many life lessons in Conan. Conan, what is best in life? Destroying your enemies, seeing them flee before you, and hearing the lamentation of the women.
Now recording.
Welcome back to the Discerning Geeks Portal, the only podcast where we have hosts who can't decide on a rating system, make horrible sound effects, get hassled by their voiceover robots, and sometimes take a discerning look into all things geek. I'm joined with my best friend, Dave, Todd, and Preston. How's it going, guys?
I still don't understand this whole horrible sound effect thing.
I figure we always take a discerning look into something.
Thousands of years ago, before Florida was drunk by the sea and New York crumbled into the ocean, four brothers ride into battle to discuss Conan the Barbarian.
with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The Terminator. The Terminator.
I'll be back.
This is before they gave him one-liners, or pretty much any lines.
I'm shy.
I mean, he still has one-liners in here.
Before we ruin all the podcasts.
It's too late for that.
To get ahead of ourselves. Todd, why don't you give us a rundown?
Get what down?
Okay, yeah, as you've probably already guessed, we are reviewing Conan the Barbarian. When a band of raiders wipes out a village of Sumerians, children from the village, including Conan, the son of a blacksmith, are taken prisoner and forced into slavery. After years of hard labor at the mill, an adult Conan is recruited as a gladiator, is eventually freed, befriends a couple of thieves and a wizard, and is hired by a wealthy king to rescue his daughter from a villain. The villain is Thulsa Doom, who has an obsession with snakes, literally has the voice of Darth Vader, has the sorcerer's power to mesmerize followers into complete submission, and is the same raider that destroyed Conan's village. It's possible the only man capable of stopping Thulsa Doom is Conan the Barbarian. Conan the Barbarian is starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, the 38th governor of California, as the title role of Conan. Jerry Lopez as archer and thief Subotai. Sandal Bergman as female warrior Valeria. Mako Iwamatsu as Akiro, Wizard of the Mounds. And Max von Sydow as King Osric. Oh, and also Darth Vader, James Earl Jones, as Thulsa Doom. Conan the Barbarian was released in the U.S. on May 14, 1982, after various other release dates in other countries between March and May of that year. It has a rating of R. It was written by John Milius and Oliver Stone, but it was based on a character created for magazines and comics by Robert E. Howard. Conan first appeared in the Weird Tales magazine in 1932, making the character around 90 or 91 years old right now. And it was directed by one of the co-writers, John Milius. It was also produced by Dino De Laurentiis. Dino moved to the U.S. in 1976, became a U.S. citizen in 1986, and in the 1980s, he had his own studio, De Laurentiis Entertainment Group, based in our home state and somewhere Dave has lived before, Wilmington, North Carolina. He was a prolific producer of movies, including the two sequels, Conan the Destroyer and Red Sonja. Conan the Destroyer came out 2 years later, the same year as another De Laurentiis production, Dune, which we reviewed in episode 72 of this podcast. I am on record as calling Dune hot, wet garbage.
What the hell were you thinking?
Where can you find Conan the Barbarian? You have to rent it right now, and it's $4 instead of the usual $3, but that might be a common trend because of inflation. It might be that maybe all movies are going to $4 right now. And like other movies that we are reviewing in the month of March 2023, this is one of the movies that was kind of requested or at least mentioned by Dave Teague. And we're doing this in March because we're approaching the 12-month anniversary of him passing away, unfortunately. He requested this movie at the end of our review of Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which became episode 18 of this podcast.
For Dave!
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
You gotta admit, it's really impressive how many jobs Arnold Schwarzenegger had and how different they all were. He was a bodybuilder, and then he went on to become an actor, and then went on to be a governor of California. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
But speaking of Arnold Schwarzenegger, how did you like Arnold Schwarzenegger, since he was pretty much the most interesting part of this movie?
Ooh.
Mm. Hmm. I think, in a way, this and Terminator really take advantage of him being a foreigner to the best of its abilities. Conan is definitely, I believe, about half of this movie, Conan doesn't say more than 12 lines. And that's perfect. Because, like, he was a child abducted by slavers. And he was pushing a wheel for most of his formative years. And it was only during, like, the gladiator portion of his life that he learns how to read and talk and converse and be a social person. So, yeah, all of his viewpoints and all of his reality is just going to be focused on what he learned in that gladiator pit and the fact that, you know, at the beginning, close to the beginning of his life, a group of marauders in, like, skull masks rode in and killed all of his family. So, in a way, I think it was great. This is excellent. This is Arnold before the puns became a thing. I want to say they were really a thing in, like, Predator. And then Commando is just the ultimate Arnold as a pun machine movie. But this is, it's all the Arnold tropes well used, and Arnold is well used in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, so it would be interesting to look back and see if Conan would have lasted as long as it has as a iconic figure, if not for these movies. To me, this is one of those movies that was the right place at the right time. And while not perfect, it solidified and reinvented or reinvigorated this character for more generations. Like Todd mentioned in the rundown, you know, Conan is a character over 90 years old, has been a fan of short fiction and pulp fiction and all those little short books that 13 and 14 and 15 year old boys were reading, you know, in the heyday of all the science fiction and fantasy coming out in my parents' generation. And so then to have it translated into this movie in the 80s, it to me kind of put that life back into it. I don't know that without that revitalization, that making the movie and it being popular enough and people, you know, relating to it and seeing the character that they like, that it would have increased. I think Conan would be in a character that just died away and nobody would have known about. But this movie just kind of it was the right time, right place, just to revitalize it. Had it come 20 years later, I don't know that it would have worked because people would have been like, who's this guy? Nobody, everybody's forgot about him. But it kind of came at the time when those young kids who read the books when they were 13, 14, 15, now they're older. They've got jobs. They want to go to the movies. They want to take their kids to the movies. I hope they didn't take their kids to this movie because it's a little rough. But I'm sure some of them probably did. You know, they want to go to the movies and they got to see it and revitalize it and then bring in fresh people to hear the lore and the legend and see this mythical character that was created. So with that regard, I have to say that I think it does a phenomenal job in just kind of revitalizing this character. I was reading an article and Todd will, and I know will agree that it is past time for this, but hopefully the push is that they're now going to do a TV series on Amber, the Rogers Lazenby.
Yes.
You know, and it's like, this could be the time that this gets introduced to a whole new world of people. Yeah. And those people are going to want to go back and read the books if it's done right. And it could revitalize the whole prospect. To me, that's what Conan did for the Conan character and title that happened before. Without this, we wouldn't have gotten the second Conan movie. We wouldn't have gotten Red Sonja. We wouldn't have gotten Cole the Conqueror. You know, the whole series of things that probably would have never happened or been done in the same way. So even with its faults, it has that.
Yeah, and I would kind of just echo what you had to say. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of has some things going against him at being, you know, a super versatile actor. But this was the type of movie that required a certain type of actor, and he fits that role very well. I mean, this is a niche role, and he's a niche actor, and it was the right fit. I was skimming through IMDb trivia a little bit before we started, and it's one of those pages that just has way too much trivia to go through. But I was skimming through the first little bit of it, and one of the first items in there said that he has been quoted before as saying that this was God's gift to his career. So it probably did do a lot to propel him forward, like I said, because it was just perfect for him. Also, I was watching a video on YouTube of either an interview he did or maybe multiple interviews that were kind of spliced together, where he mentioned that he had to do all of his own stunts because they couldn't find a stunt double that looked enough like him. And IMDb trivia apparently agrees with that, because there was an entry that said that both he and Sandahl Bergman both had to do their own stunts because they couldn't find a stunt woman for her either. Mm. So, yeah, I think this was a very good Arnold Schwarzenegger vehicle. And it might have been hard for them to find anybody else. In fact, I'm not positive. I think in skimming through trivia, I might have seen something where it actually took them a while to even start making the movie because it was hard for them to cast it until they found Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe I'm thinking of something else, but I think that might apply to this movie. So, Andrew, what about you?
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger is just a legend. I mean, he actually had to downsize a lot for most of his roles because he was just too big. That, I don't know, he must not have fit on the camera or something.
Yeah, one of the things I read, and it's, you know, it's like a lot of this trivia, it's hard to know, but I actually heard that he had to cut down on his workout routine because his arms and chest muscles were so big that it made it almost impossible for him to wield the sword appropriately. Like, he couldn't swing it because his arms and his chest got in the way of just swinging the sword. I was like, wow, that is a big dude, man.
I'm a cybernetic organism.
Yeah, I think he went from something like 4 hours of weight training or maybe a full day of weight training for when he was actually doing competitions to doing only 1 hour of weight training for this movie. And then the rest of his training time was stuff like running, jogging, learning swordplay, stuff like that. So he had to learn to be more wiry and nimble than just
beefy. And he had to learn a few lines, not a whole lot. He had a few lines of dialogue. I almost wanted to joke because I think it really is like almost 30 minutes into the movie before he says anything. You're kind of like, really? Is he going to talk or is he just going to sit there the whole movie? But it's kind of neat because that was the perspective, too, of what they wanted out of the character. I was like, no, he's not going to mince words. He's just going to do his thing. And it's like, OK.
No, that's like they don't waste him as an actor. Like they every line they give him has purpose, and it's great. Like, I think one of the first lines you hear out of Conan is, "Conan, what is best in life? See your enemies driven before you and hear the lamentations of the women.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and I hear the lamentation of the women."
Yeah!
I love crushing and driving away my enemies too, but I don't like that last part.
It's great.
And that was something that Arnold Schwarzenegger truly believed in. What was the truth?
I have the utmost respect for women.
When you're that size, I believe you start to view the world in those sorts of terms. You know, you're just so big. But no, the script is solid. Like, for a Sword and Sandals movie, this script is solid. Mm-hmm. I know Dave loves Red Sonja.
And that's my favorite.
There's a lot more there. But, like, this is solid. Like, the use of the narration and just the beats of this movie are great. Like, it's not anything, you know, earth-shattering, or you're not going to come away with a different viewpoint of the world, but for a movie like this, this is exactly what you want.
Now, I will admit, there were some things that left me lacking. I won't go into too many specifics, but I will say the biggest one, and it had been a while since I had watched this, and I had totally forgot that this happened in the movie until our rewatch for this podcast, when the bad guy, Zahadoon, whatever.
If you go to Zahadoon, you will die.
Falsadoon. At one point, there's this whole scene where, for no apparent reason, he turns into a snake and slithers down a hole. Mm-hmm. While that's kind of cool, it was kind of like, okay.
Well, you see, that actually has to do with, snakes. Yeah.
Why did he do that? And why doesn't he do it again? Like, I don't know. It's one of those as a D&D person, right? You know, you're making a character and it's like, oh, here's this guy's power. Well, then it's kind of like, okay, you would think at some point it would come into play in some important facet. But no, it's just, okay, there's this going on. He turns into a snake. He slithers away. And then he comes back and you're like, oh, okay.
Well, it's possible he's a sorcerer or an evil druid, because he also turns snakes into arrows.
This is true. And that was cool. That was some pretty cool magic stuff. And that actually played in, because we see a couple of times when he kills one person, obviously, and then, you know, he gets to do that a couple of times. But it's one of those, it's just like, okay, if you're going to do that, do something with it. You know, other than just let me show you the special effects that we have that we can do this.
Here's the thing, though. Like, a lot of his power at that point in the movie is based around mind control. Like, he makes a real big point about mind control being, like, a thing that he does.
Right.
Being so powerful as to compel someone to commit suicide off of his balcony. Like, that's part of the reason why he's, like, the Riddle of Steel. Bah! And, you know, pretty much discards Conan's whole motivation for being up until that point, is he's moved beyond the physical and into the mental. So the question really is, did he turn himself into the snake, or did he convince everyone he turned himself into the snake?
Oh.
That's deep. I don't think that's good writing, but that's deep.
I think he actually turned into the snake, because if he had just convinced everybody he was a snake, I think people would have been paying more attention, and we, the audience, would have seen people be mesmerized. But people just seem to be carrying on kind of normal. Also, he slithers into something that I think he would need to be in a snake form to get through. It was some kind of hole or something. I don't know what it was. But, I mean, yeah, maybe he is a human, kind of got down on his belly and kind of wiggled over there into the hole or something. But I doubt it. I think when we're seeing the snake, I think we, the audience, are meant to be seeing the snake, and that's what he is.
I just thought it was supposed to be phallic because everybody else was having an orgy. He's like, look, I can become a big snake and go in a hole. I mean, that was all that I got out of it. I'm like, okay. I mean, they're having a big orgy.
Now we're having fun.
Maybe, you know, that's his way of participating.
Let's do it. Do it now.
Oh my goodness. Okay, back to storytelling and plot. What else did you guys think other than the snake?
I mean, the story is okay. I think the best thing I can say about it is I do like that it does have an epic feel. They do cover a lot of material in the I think 2 hour runtime. So it does have an epic feel to it. Simply a lot happens. Unfortunately, I think the bad thing about it is that it's a little bit on the forgettable side, because I watched Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, Red Sonja, and also the 2011 version of Conan the Barbarian. I've watched them all within the last 7 to 10 days. And I had to kind of rack my brain to remember what happened in each movie, because as soon as I watched them, it's like it just vanished from my brain. It's like nothing really stuck with me. So I think that's the worst thing about it is, okay, they might be fun while you're watching it, but it's kind of ultimately fluff, or at least it was to me. And it's like afterwards, it's like just gone. And maybe this one, not quite as much, but I think I watched Conan the Destroyer within the last 2 or 3 days. And I already forgot about like one major character in there, because I was trying to compare them and see which one was better and worse and all that. And I was grading, I think, Conan the Destroyer down. But then I was like, oh, wait, I just forgot about the one character in there that I actually kind of liked, and they had to go back up. And then I remembered other things that were bad about it and went back down. It's like all three of the movies just kept going up and down and up and down. I watched Sonya just last night already. Couldn't tell you what it was about. Conan the Barbarian, the 2011 version, I did watch approximately a week ago, and again, can't tell you what it was about. I knew it had something to do with a mask, and other than that, gone. So yeah, it's not very meaty. Arnold Schwarzenegger might be meaty, but the story is.
Yeah, I think the story is good for what it is, and I think that if you're scrolling on TV and you come across it and you stop, you're going to have a good time watching it. But I also don't think it's something you're going to like be thinking about and like go out of your way to watch it. Ever.
No, I mean, it fits the subject matter, right? I mean, I don't know if anybody actually read any of the old Conan books. I've actually read a couple. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So, and they're entertaining. But there's not a lot of like super crazy stuff. I mean, it's very much what you would expect. It's him going around slashing up people and getting the girl.
Wait, whoa.
That's pretty much the plot.
Are we ignoring the whole like 3-book arc where he becomes a pirate? And like
again, he's slashing up people and getting the girl.
He's dating a sea witch on this pirate ship, and they go from island to island solving problems.
Okay, yeah, there's a few that he solves problems, but I mean, 99% of them, the plot is all the same. He goes around, saves the girl, sleeps with the girl. It is that 13, 14 year old boys fantasy.
I was going to say, that sounds like my kind of story. Like,
yeah, it is. I mean, this is why Andrew lifts weights all the time. He wants to be Conan so he could go out and slash people up and get the girl.
I thought I might get lucky.
I mean, this is.
That's exactly why
I
lift
weights. I mean, not. I'm old, but I remember. I know what that, you know. It is what it is, you know, and even, you know, the comic books, things like that, they're all very much the same. They're fun characters, which I think is part of that Conan mystique. But even then, sometimes the fun characters, you're kind of, I don't say questioning, but it's almost like you could tell that the fun characters were put there just to be fun characters. A really good example is the magic guy, Mako. It's a wonderful character. But when you actually look at him in the context of the movie, he really, I mean, I, he's saves his life, I guess, you know, when he kind of dies and the spirits try to come get him, he helps out in that sense, but he contributes very, very little. I mean, he's not like, you know, oh, I'm going to go out with you and, you know, adventure and things like that. I'm the crazy kooky wizard guy. And my whole point of being here is to be the crazy kooky wizard guy and to help you with this one thing. So, you know, and there was a couple other characters like that. So it is what it is. And that's kind of the depth of Conan.
Exactly. It's good for what it is. And I mean, not much more, but that's not a bad thing. It's still good for what it is. It's just, it is what it is.
Yeah. And since we're delving into the characters a little bit, I would say I liked the characters too. They were likable and sympathetic, but they were also maybe a little bit on the thin side, because like, Valeria, I really like her. But the whole love thing between her and Conan,
yeah,
you know, I've had this complaint in all kinds of other movies about how sometimes the love affair is kind of rushed, and sometimes it has to be because a movie's only 2 hours long, but it's especially rushed here. And especially since, you know, the acting isn't super stellar. And so it's not super convincing. It's like they have this supposed deep love and it's him pining for her that is part of his motivation in the second movie and stuff like that. And it's just, it's more told than shown.
I am a man and you're a woman. Now, where do we go from here?
But at the same time, I like it. You were talking about the Akira character, the Wizard of the Mounds. Yes, that is a cool character. I'm still confused as to how Conan knew him. Yeah. It's all of a sudden Conan just rides out to a beach and there's a wizard and they act like they know each other. Do they? I don't know. And in fact, I think Akira is the narrator of the story and he's talking about Conan being his master. And I'm like, when did that come about? Did I miss something? Did I fall asleep? Maybe I did. I don't know. So I think a lot of this stuff is just kind of a little bit on the thin side. At the same time, I like it. Just like Subutai, the archer and thief. He was kind of cool. I couldn't tell you how Conan met him. I've already forgotten that. That's one of the things that have left my brain already. So likable characters, but maybe just kind of simple. Not that there's anything wrong with that for this kind of movie.
I can't find it now, but one of the little pages I was looking at some trivia on actually stated that even though they had this love affair or this affair, you know, this deep love, and they actually spent more time on screen together than like any of the other characters, that I think between them, Conan had like 3 lines of dialogue.
Oh, wow.
see, here's the thing though.
He shows his love without talking. He's a real man's man.
But like, here's the thing. What you're overlooking is 2 things. First of all, the narration is supposed to be well after the fact.
Okay.
Conan, in the credit scene, is sitting on his throne. We never see him ascend the throne in the movie, but he's sitting on the throne, and this is supposed to be, you know, a story told after Conan becomes a king, which does happen in the books. Also, this is one of the rare Schwarzenegger movies where Schwarzenegger fails. Like, Conan fails to save his girl. And, like, that's a pretty big character arc for, you know, the sword and sandals era where the heroes are just untouchably badass, you know? And Conan fails. He has to deal with the fact that he could not save someone. And, you know, he has to deal with the fact that there are more people out there and they have other gods, and, you know, he has to learn to make friends with them. And it's, Conan's not that deep, but also is deeper than people give it credit for. In that Conan has flaws. Conan learns. Conan rejects Krum in this movie because he doesn't know if Krum's going to help him or not. For the majority of the movie, he is the last devotee of Krum on his mountain. And by the end of the movie, he doesn't know if Krum's there or not. So he's just going to do it himself. So that's an arc. That's like
Yeah.
It's character development.
Yeah.
That I don't think a lot of people give it credit for, which is why I said earlier the script is solid. The story is solid.
Yeah. I think the characters are pretty lackluster, but I think, again, it's good for what it is. Schwarzenegger isn't meant to have too many lines in this movie, so sometimes some of the character interactions are a little bit stale, but I still feel like, you know, there's some good character interaction moments in this movie. Like, I like that time where he interacted with that camel by punching him in the face. The camel just kind of fell over. I think that was one of the best interactions of the whole movie.
I was going to mention that if you hadn't.
So trivia on that is that he actually did that. And they got in trouble with a lot of, because they weren't necessarily, you know, nowadays we watch a movie and no animals were harmed in the making of this movie. Apparently in this movie, he literally punched the camel.
Animals were literally, was that scripted or did he just do it?
I'm fairly confident it was scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I tried to fact check it right before we started, and I didn't get very far. I really should have done it beforehand, so I kind of ran out of time. But I got kind of mixed messages, because I think I saw something like what you were talking about, Dave, where I saw a headline somewhere, Arnold Schwarzenegger got outlawed from this country because of punching a camel or something. But then I also read other articles that said things like, no animals were harmed. He only tapped the camel, but they put in a sound effect to make it sound like he punched it. Stuff like that. So I'm not totally sure, because there was even one article, who has punched the most animals? And of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger won, because he punched two camels, a horse, I think two dogs. There was some other animal. I can't remember if it was a goat or something, but
Arnold has punched two camels and at least one horse. He's also punched a reindeer, wrestled with and punched a bear, and knocked out two dogs by slamming their heads together. The reindeer and bear were clearly fake, and the dogs probably were too. The horse and camels were real.
But he's punched a lot of animals. But then at the bottom it said, it's just movie magic, no animals were harmed. So I'm not sure who to believe.
You want to know how I know the camel didn't get hit?
How?
Okay, so there's a movie called Cannibal Holocaust. And in Cannibal Holocaust, you actually see a turtle be prepared for soup. Because of that, that movie was banned in so many countries because PETA just went after it.
Oh, okay.
Like, and that movie has such a cult status anyway. But if Arnold actually did punch that camel, PETA would just like grind this movie into dust.
Well, I know they would now, but I just don't. Has PETA been around long enough? Like, were they around in 1982?
I mean, this is a retroactive thing. Like, Cannibal Holocaust was made in like the mid 70s.
Oh, okay.
It's close to the beginning. The dogs that were released to chase Conan were apparently very vicious, and even on set attacked their handlers. And at one point, like, Conan suffered a little bit of injury, or Arnold suffered a little bit of injuries when the dogs got a hold of him and he failed to climb to get away from them. So when he was really running, he was like running from crazy nut dogs that they had on set that were not trained.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I was like, wow, that's kind of nuts. Because we just assume that so much of it's movie magic and, oh, they're just trained, things like that. But, yeah.
Not back in the times of these movies. Sometimes they would just let actual dogs go.
Oh, yeah. They apparently just turned loose some crazy dogs on them. So
punch a fake camel. Oh, just punch that camel over there. You're fine.
Nice. So.
Well, we've talked about the best actor. We've talked about the story. And we've talked about characters. Let's talk about some of the things that we didn't like. You might have touched on some of them before, but just go in depth or talk about some more.
Okay, I've got a kind of a nitpicky thing, and this is kind of like a editing choice or director's choice type of complaint. So I already mentioned something about the opening, or maybe somebody else did it. I think it had something to do with the monologue. I think that the opening monologue was a little bit weird. For one thing, it was the wording was just kind of awkward. And it was spoken by the wizard, and we don't really know who the wizard is. And it was spoken over a blank screen. But then at the end of the movie, we see a caption that describes what Conan did next and stuff like that. But it's like, wait a minute, why not just do the voiceover? Also, it's over an image of him sitting on a throne because, as Preston implied, you know, he eventually becomes a king. So I'm also thinking, why didn't they show an image at the beginning of the movie? So it's like at the beginning of the movie, you're missing an image. And at the end of the movie, you're missing sound. And I'm like, why can't they have both in both places? I don't know. I just thought that was a weird choice.
For stuff that I didn't like, a lot of it boils down to the practical effects. I feel like a lot of the blood in this movie is very cheap.
Okay.
It's just paint from the hardware store that they just like, okay, it's a blood bag. You're just going to stab it and the paint's going to run out. I feel like that was cheap. Again, it is the early 80s. I want to say 83.
The movie was released in 1982. Principal photography ran from October 1980 to May 1981.
But it's the 80s. We don't have the production budgets of today. I don't know when we really dialed in the fake blood really well to where it is today, where it's almost purplish. But it is not in this movie. And there are a lot of the sets that are just like, we carve this out of styrofoam. Because it's the 80s and the film quality isn't, you know, 1080p or whatever, we can put enough grain on this film to where you won't notice that these columns are just straight styrofoam. That was not great. It was definitely rushed, that they wanted to cram as much Conan lore as humanly possible, which leads me to one of my favorite scenes, because they cram in there a Lovecraft reference. And if you're not paying attention for it, you'll absolutely miss it. Because Conan's just wandering around and he happens upon this cult. And this cult is just going like, the earth is doomed, man. We're going to go to the ocean and worship the sea god and then be devoured by him. And that's 100% a Lovecraft reference.
I think the director or whatever was we know the author of Conan, he was a huge fan of the Lovecraftian story.
They were buddies.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm pretty sure they were friends, and yeah. And then there's definitely some of that mythos that you can kind of see playing out, even though it's not direct. But that was a good way of calling it out in the movie. I thought that was cool.
You know what this is? This is the antithesis of Black Adam. Where I think Black Adam was originally planned to be a trilogy and they just crammed it into one movie. This was, we took a trilogy's worth of stuff and crammed it into 2 hours and it still worked. You know?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way of wording this, because there's a lot in this movie. One of my nitpicks was that I just wish they went more in depth with some of the stuff, and I wish there was more details added and a little bit more. I guess a better pacing, I suppose, is what I'm looking for. And that's one of my nitpicks.
I guess one of my complaints is, and it was interesting because I had remembered watching this movie years ago. And then I was watching it again with Leanne after the kids had gone to bed. And I was a little thrown with just how violent and nude and kind of thing that it was. This is a RRR rated movie, you know. There's in some ways it would, you know, push the envelope, I think, even today on the R rating, just because of some of the things in it. And I think it was a little bit much. In some cases it was well done and kind of neat. But then in others, it almost felt like it was, let's just be, you know, kind of the gory violent here for the sake of being gory violent. And I'm never a fan of that. It just is kind of a turnoff of mine. It's one of the reasons I hate slasher movies, they just don't appeal to me at all, because it's like, oh, we could have killed this guy 100 different ways, but we're going to find the most gory graphic way to do it just to show you on screen, just so you'll cringe at it. And that's, to me, that's a turnoff. So I kind of have to rate it down a little bit, just because it went beyond what was necessary. And the strange part is, in some of the trivia I read, apparently it was much worse, or at least it was, I won't say much worse, but it was worse in the rough cut. And apparently they cut some of the violence out even in what we saw. So, yeah, it's a nitpick of mine, but that's just kind of where I'm at. I've gotten old and prudish. So.
One man nitpick is another man.
You no longer experience joy.
Yeah, I'm old and prudish, you know.
Well, it's interesting that you had that complaint, because, like I said, I watched the other movies as a way of comparing them. And when comparing to the 2011 remake of Conan the Barbarian, I felt like it was the one that was too gruesome, because it had some death scenes that I felt really were gory. Things like a guy getting his head smashed against a stone step. And I can't even remember, like I said, I forgot it all, but I do remember that I've got it in my notes that some death scenes were just more gory than I would like, but I didn't have that complaint about the original movie. I felt like, yeah, it had a lot of deaths and yes, even some beheading, but for the most part, it was sanitized as much as it could be for what it was. It's like, yes, there was blood, but no guts. And yes, there were deaths, but nothing extreme except for the beheading. But like I said, even that was kind of, you know, you kind of, it's implied to a certain extent, and maybe not all of it, but even when some things were kind of bloody, I thought it was kind of cartoonish. So I kind of felt like, I mean, we talked a little bit about how Arnold Schwarzenegger was the right person for this movie. I think this movie was also right for the 80s, because it came at a time before the special effects got good enough to where you could show more gory things more realistically. And I think that this is the kind of thing where you can show a whole lot of war and combat and death and dying and everything without it being super gory. At least that was my opinion. Dave, you obviously felt differently, but I thought it was okay.
Well, I think in some senses it's all because of kind of the combination of Preston's critique of kind of the blood is fakish enough that it almost does come across as comical less than gory. If you look at it that way,
I mean, when he chops the fat guy in half, and it's just like they just throw a paint can of red paint on him, and he's just flailing his arms around, you know, at Stonehenge. How is that not hilarious?
Yeah, but I have a confession. I have yet to watch the 2011 Jason Momoa Conan. I had plans to kind of like Todd watch that in preparation for this, to be able to throw some more comparison out, but I couldn't get I was sick for a week, but I was also just couldn't get myself motivated to watch it.
and talking about another example of kind of goofy stuff or gory and goofy stuff. Okay. So when he was strapped to the tree being crucified, basically, a bird is pecking at him, actually eating him. And then he reaches out and bites the bird. Now that would be a super gory, gross scene if it were done today, because we would have the special effects to make it look super realistic. Back then it's like, ooh, he's getting eaten. And now he's biting the bird, but the bird looks ridiculous, so it's okay. I mean, the bird was basically a puppet.
Yeah.
Well, it is called Conan the Barbarian, so if it wasn't without its gruesomeness, would it even be a barbarian?
Yeah.
It's kind of a necessity. Well, does anyone have any more nitpicks before we go into lightning round?
No, I don't think so.
Lift off and the clock is ticking.
Lift off and the clock is started.
lightning round.
3, 2, 1. Wow, lightning round. I told you we had cheap sound effects. We're losing our budget.
What budget?
I don't have any money.
Okay, everybody get out your dice. Cocoon, cha-chow, lightning effects. Wow, cool.
Budget, we don't have a budget.
I just got an email from Todd that said if anyone doesn't like the sound effects, they're welcome to edit together a new bumper for the lightning round segment, or edit a whole episode. Hint, hint.
Hey, Andrew, I'm going to use the tower that you gave me for Christmas.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
Ah, it sucks. I got a 4.
Skill issue. I got a 9?
2.
6?
Oh.
9, 6, 9. What does the dot mean? Is that the bottom or the top?
Bottom.
The dot is the bottom.
Oh, then I got a 9. Okay, cool.
Nat 20. Nat 20.
Dang, that's crazy. Okay. Preston, start off.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
And go.
One thing that has not been mentioned yet is the music. If you are hosting a D&D night, get the soundtrack to this movie and like put it on your stereo or however you broadcast music in your home and just let this go. It is pretty much everything you'd want out of this. And again, it's a good movie. It's not going to be amazing.
Why not?
But it's a good movie.
It's amazing.
Okay.
All right. Who is next?
Me.
Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. And go.
Conan, Conan, Conan the Barbarian. He punches camels and gets elected governor of California. He's also the Terminator. It's Conan the Barbarian. Maybe that's just Arnold Schwarzenegger. I really like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's like my hero. I love him. I love his chest. I love his pecs. I want to meet him in person. Like, just to see his... Okay, moving on. That's my time.
I'm...
Hello, cutie pie.
Okay. A lot of man love.
Learning all kinds of new things here. Okay, Dave, you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, and go.
Two things really quick to show you just how badass this movie is. To make the fake blood, they use this concentrate, but because it was so cold when they mixed it with the water, it would still kind of get congealed and frozen. So they would actually mix it with vodka. And so on set, when they were supposed to like get hurt and spit out the blood, they were just drinking it instead because it was full of vodka and they thought it was good. So they're actually like drinking blood on set all the time. Second, Arnold kept the sword of Conan over his office when he was governor in California, and that's just pretty badass.
Okay, all right.
The blood will freeze in my hands.
And I'm last. Ready, and go. I like the king that hires the thieves to get his daughter back. Great performance by Max von Sydow. Does have great outdoor scenery, impressive sets and locations. The big fight scene was pretty good. I don't even remember which big fight scene I'm talking about. The special effects for the snake arrow were excellent. The music was pretty good. Slow, boring, lots of slow shots of Conan walking, riding a horse, eating, tied to a tree, etc. Wow, I still got 10 seconds. I would say overall, this was good for what it was. I think it was not quite my type of movie, but I think it was fun and effective for what it was.
Woohoo!
Yay! Ratings, right?
Ratings.
Yep.
Ratings.
Ratings.
This is my show. I'm the moderator. I say we're not doing it.
What are we not doing?
What?
Chanting.
Oh. Chanting.
But we will be rating. So let's go in the same order we did lightning round. So Preston, go ahead.
Alright. This is Conan. This is the good one. This is the one that works. I'm sure we'll get into the destroyer and we'll have a discussion about that. It definitely is 4 stars. It's not 5 because it's not perfect, but it's 4 stars.
Okay.
Nice. Andrew, I think you're next.
This movie. It's a movie, but it's got Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, so I had to watch it. So I'm going to give it an 85. But like, okay. Keep in mind, like 10 of those points are like Arnold Schwarzenegger and his muscles.
It's time now to turn this mush into muscles.
So that's pretty much how I feel about this movie as a whole. So that's all I have to say.
Okay. Conan.
Let me guess. This one is hard to rate.
To me, Conan is one of those that's hard to rate.
Called it.
Because part of me says, okay, I should just be very strict and rate it just on, hey, this is this movie. This is how it compares to other movies. And if I did that, it would rate a little bit lower than some of the ones I've talked about in the past. However, this is iconic. This is Conan. And Conan is important in the evolution of fantasy. And like I mentioned at the beginning, we wouldn't have had some of the things that we have now if it wasn't for Conan. So it gets a little bump up. It gets a little reprieve because of the fact that it needs to be watched. It needs to be watched to understand. It's kind of like watching some of the very old classic movies. Trying to think of some of the, like, The Sound of Music, right? You know, if you just strictly say, oh, well, film quality is this, acting is this on Sound of Music, it probably would rate lower when compared to today's films. Oh, it didn't have this budget. It didn't have this. But the fact that it was iconic and it created this memory that has impacted the future, it gets a higher rating. So for me, it gets an 8.5.
Oh, wow.
That's the same as mine.
What? Okay. But mine's not for Arnold, because actually for me, Arnold kind of brought it down a little bit.
Hey, don't disrespect Arnold.
Him and his three lines. Oh.
Hey, dialogue. Those three lines were spoken with grace.
I'm just doing my job.
I guess it's because we're on a talking media here. You know, if our podcast was this movie, all you would hear is where somebody's sharpening a sword and people would turn it off pretty quick. It's like, what the heck?
Punch. I mean, you never know, dude. Those ASMR channels, they draw money.
So anyways, yeah, I give it an 8.5. Oh, but I will also give it my Dave rating. And I really do believe this, and I'm going to stand by it for myself as well. I would say this is one of those films that if it were to play on a theater right now, you should pay money to go see it. You're not going to get that opportunity very often in your lifetime. And so you should take that opportunity if it was actually playing in a theater to get some buddies together and go make an event of it and go watch the movie. So it's more than a Saturday. It's more than a matinee. It's a go pay full price and see it.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm going to be the harsh one. And this was also tough for me because partially grading this movie by itself, but then also grading Conan the Destroyer, Red Sonja, and the 2011 Conan the Barbarian. I kept moving them up and down and around each other, and I kept coming back to the same letter grade. And I kind of feel bad about it because I feel like there is a part of me that feels like maybe it's a little too low, but I did give this a letter grade of a C.
I'm really disappointed.
Which means it's kind of the upper end of me technically not liking it, because the older I get, the more I get picky about pacing, and pacing was one of the problems with this movie. And like I said, it was kind of cheesy and not quite my thing. And so that's why it's a C. However, it still wasn't that bad. And I would say that, like I said before, it was good for what it was. Just real quick, for Conan the Destroyer and Red Sonja, I gave both of those a C also. And that was another thing where I kept moving them up and down. I was like, okay, they're all getting a C, but which one is better? And I think at one time, one of them got a C minus. I never could get any of them to a C plus. In Conan the Destroyer, Arnold punches a horse. And he punches a camel. Supposedly it's the same camel. I'm wondering, was it truly the same camel or was it a different camel? If it was the same camel, that camel needs a new agent.
I know that feeling.
And then Red Sonja, I was disappointed that it wasn't a true sequel, even though it had Schwarzenegger in it and it was supposedly in the same fictional prehistory of the Earth. Apparently, he plays a different character. Also, Sandahl Bergman comes back, but she plays a different character. And so it's technically not a sequel, or at least not a direct sequel. So it's kind of like it's in the same vein, but it's still kind of its own thing. And then this may be blasphemy, but my grade for the 2011 Conan the Barbarian was oddly enough a B minus. It's probably blasphemy. And it got really panned, destroyed amongst critics. And I was like, I thought it was actually pretty good for the most part. But if it's any consolation, I don't remember why I gave it a B minus.
There you go.
Well, we are getting to the end. I would like to go around and ask everyone individually, just quickly, what do you think Dave would have rated this movie? Let's start with Preston again.
Dave would tell you to go buy this movie. He would not understand how his two best friends have gone so soft in their old age. This would definitely be one of those, you need to own this. Like I can see him with the cigarette in between his two fingers pointing at you. You need to own this. I don't understand, man. This kicked off a whole genre of movies in the 80s. Without this, you wouldn't have like Beastmaster.
Yep. Kroll, you name it. There's a whole bunch of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And like this is the movie. Like, if you want to explain Dungeons and Dragons to somebody and you want to explain what a barbarian is, what do? Do you pull up a bunch of like barbarian art? No. You sit them down in front of Conan the Barbarian and you're like, this is who you are.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And if you want to teach somebody what sneak attack looks like for a rogue, tell them to watch Conan the Destroyer with that one support character whose name I don't know. And I don't understand why he's in the movie in the first place, but he's there. And man, is he a rogue? He's an assassin rogue.
Yeah. This is a very D&D movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Dave would have told you to go pay full price and get the movie immediately and watch it. Me personally, I think it's more of a Saturday movie, but I enjoy this movie. I see why Dave enjoyed this movie. This is a very Dave movie. Indeed, this is about as Dave as movie gets. And it's just it's an enjoyable movie. Pay full price.
And I kind of said mine with my review. I definitely feel like he would say, if it comes out of the theater, pay full price. Go get it. Yeah, it should be on people's shelves. I did not own it before doing this review, but it was definitely one that I purchased, and you know, it's now in the collection, so I'm not upset about that. And, it'll hang out there in my digital collection, until I decide to watch it again. Now I had owned Red Sonja for a long time and I've watched it several times, but I understand Todd's thing, you know, sadly it's one of those licensing things that happen with all that stupid stuff with different, you know, who owns the rights to what whenever you make a movie. But it's a good one. It's worth having, and it's worth watching to realize what it means. Now, that being said, I say go into it knowing that it's not necessarily it ain't no Lord of the Rings, you know. You're not going to be watching it going, this is epic fantasy like it's supposed to be on the screen. It has those elements, and you can see some of those elements, but it's definitely the baby stage of those elements versus what we get in the end with like a Lord of the Rings production. So, and I would say, and I don't know if I mentioned it at the end of this of our podcast last time or if I mentioned it off the air, but I would say if you want some backstory about Conan and how all of that happens, there's actually a pretty decent documentary movie, or I don't know what they call those, where it's not a real documentary. It's kind of a movie documentary where they glorify things. The Whole Wide World, which is about the author of Conan and kind of his mental anguish and some things that he went through and his relationships and how he talked about his character and things like that. It's actually a pretty neat little movie. So I throw that out there.
Okay. And I think I agree with Andrew that to me, this is a Saturday movie, but I gotta take my own opinion out of it. And I think this one might be on the borderline between Matinee and Pay Full Price. But either way, if this were the type of movie that we're playing in the movie theater, yeah, I think Dave would probably say to go see it one way or another. So I'll agree with you guys just as kind of like a tiebreaker and say that, yeah, this would be a Pay Full Price, I think, under Dave's. But there again, he would surprise us sometime. He would. So yeah. This could possibly be a Matinee, but yeah, it might be more than a Saturday movie. I think it's a Saturday movie to me, Andrew, maybe you, Dave, but to him, yeah, I think it would be more.
Yep. As we come to a close today's podcast, we would like to tell you about all the different ways you can reach us. And I don't know the half of them. So Dave, tag, you're it.
Tag, I'll be it. So definitely you can email us your opinion. What is the best Conan movie? Let's throw that out there as our question of the week. Email us what you think is the best Conan movie out there. You can do that to thediscerninggeeks@gmail.com. You can also interact with us on our Facebook page. It is currently the Discerning Geeks Portal. We may update that later to the Discerning Geeks Portal podcast, just to kind of clarify on our Facebook page that it is a podcast, so people understand what they're looking at there. And on Twitter @DiscerningGeeks. We love to hear from you. We'd love to have your interaction. Tell us what movie you think is the best Conan. I stand by Red Sonja. It's my favorite. Todd apparently likes Jason Momoa in the new Conan.
Boo.
I don't know. Preston, where are you standing on that one?
I don't think it's Jason Momoa in the new Conan.
Is it not? Who is it?
No, it's another dude.
No, it's Jason Momoa.
Is it really? Okay. I think when you think of Conan, you think of Arnold. I know Howard wrote Conan to be more tall, lanky, and sort of muscular. Not really ultra muscular like Arnold is. So, you know, Howard's description of him is one way. But if you sit down and you ask someone, point out a barbarian, they're going to pull up the box art of this movie and just be like, that is a barbarian. You're not going to convince me that somehow that CGI'd mess is better than what we got here. Because, like, yeah, they do a lot in the new movie, but there's just too much bad CGI. It just looks bad, and the tentacles look bad, and time slows down for a lot of the fight scene in the market. I don't know. I have issues with that movie.
Yeah, looking at my notes, I think some of the reasons I like that movie a little bit better was, to me, it had better backstory. I've got something in my notes about family characters, Conan's childhood, the training he went through, how he got his sword. Early death scenes were more dramatic. It has better pacing. Some of the action scenes are more elaborate and exciting. So, yeah. Now, on the bad side, however, like I already mentioned, the goriness of some of the death scenes, I missed a Valeria-type character. At times I felt like the visuals were a little too dark. And I didn't have it in my notes, but another positive is the actress that is in it playing a major female character, although she's nothing like Valeria, I'm mildly familiar with her. She was the lead actress in the TV show Continuum. So it's kind of cool to see her in a movie. So that's kind of like a little bit of a positive. And maybe this is blasphemy too. I know we joked about Arnold Schwarzenegger and him not having a whole lot of lines in his accent and stuff like that. But I kind of liked having a more articulate Conan in the 2011 movie. So I think I did have some reasons for giving it a B-.
Also, they make Rose McGowan look like the ugliest woman on earth, and that is unforgivable.
I did not realize that was Rose McGowan. It sure does not look like her. I knew she looked like somebody, and I was trying to place her, but yeah, I never would have guessed that was Rose McGowan.
Yeah, like, poor Rose, she fell down the plastic surgery rabbit hole.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, yeah. No, I'm telling you, man, in her prime, she was a looker.
Well, that's all I got here. I don't think we have to spin a wheel because we've already got our movies set out for us. So that'll be all. Good night, guys.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Salutations.
Goodbye.
Have a good evening. Thanks for listening.
Hasta la vista, baby.
May the force be with you.
Always. And continue to enjoy whatever makes you a discerning geek.
Oh, there you go. Almost forgot. Thanks, Todd.
How could we?
Join us throughout March as we continue to honor Dave Teague with reviews of some movies he liked: Godzilla 2014, Conan the Barbarian, Ice Pirates, and Robot Jux. Also, be on the lookout for at least one lost episode, which might be edited and published this month. We leave you now with the full segment from episode 49 where Dave Teague talked about Conan, and the conversation steered into a bit of trivia from another 1982 sword and sorcery film, Beastmaster.
I don't know. I'm just shocked that we just talked about Conan and
yeah,
there was no references to really Conan. Just saying,
guys. Wait a minute. Can I ask a question?
No.
Who's Conan?
Oh.
Oh God.
I don't know.
Oh Jesus.
Do I need to add it to the list?
You need yes, but hang on. There's been a couple beyond the one you need to watch. Okay. You need to find Arnold Schwarzenegger's Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer. Mm-hmm. And those are the two you need to watch. The rest of them are shit.
And right. Then as an aside, you need to watch Red Sonja because...
Oh yeah, then you need to watch Red Sonja. Because if you're going to watch Conan, you're going to watch Red Sonja. Then you need to watch Kroll.
Yep.
Should we just save these for the game show?
Then after Kroll, you need to watch Beastmaster. Yeah. Let's see, what after Beastmaster?
Dragon Slayer.
Dragon Slayer, yeah. You need to watch Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, there's a lot out there you need to like go back and watch. And
wow.
Yeah.
Okay, only we know what we're talking about here, but that sounds exactly like your list, Dave.
It was about half my list, yeah, because I made sure that we included a lot of that for his education.
I put a few things on my list for education, too. Of course, it's funny because Beastmaster always laugh because they have a tiger that they spray painted black because they wanted a panther. And I'm sitting there thinking, how hard would it have been to got a panther? But anyway. Yeah, if you've ever seen the original Beastmaster, which by the way is an awesome movie, it's a great little fantasy film. But it's just funny because like he has a cat and it's a tiger, but they painted the tiger black because I guess they wanted a panther or something, or maybe just a black tiger. I don't know. But you can tell because there's places where the stripes don't blend in very well. You can tell somebody just kind of spray painted him like, how's that? It works. Anyway, moving on.